I have the strangest message tonight. You know, well, what I mean is, it's still forming within me, so you guys bear with me. But just when you think you have heard every possible message that could ever be taught out of Mark chapter 4, you know, the sower soweth the word, he gives you another message. And I've never seen it quite like this before. And hopefully, okay. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. He's just not going to let me go anywhere else. While you're turning there, though, remember when he told Timothy to endure hardness as a soldier? Why tell somebody that if God doesn't consider you to be a soldier? And why call you a soldier if you're not at war? Isn't that right? This might be the beginning of a series that I've been, that he's told me about for a long time. The series is God at War. God at War. And he told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. And you got to remember that that last letter, 2 Timothy, the last letter that Paul ever wrote. Timothy knows that Paul's in prison. Paul knows that he's about to be offered. And he starts off, you know, that's where he says, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See, if you leave it in the context, it makes sense. Wait a minute. My mentor is Paul. Who was it that trained Timothy? Paul. Now they've arrested my mentor, put him in prison, and his execution has been scheduled. Let's see now. Who would they come after next? You can see now why God says, now, Timothy, endure hardness as a soldier. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he tells him, you hold fast to the doctrine. Don't you compromise. Don't you let fear change your mind one little bit. You endure hardness as a soldier, Timothy. Well, before we get to Mark 4, let's go look at the articles of war in Luke chapter 4. Most of you know this is right after Jesus overcame the temptations of the devil in the wilderness. And he comes to Nazareth. And he's found that place in Isaiah to preach from. And he reads here, we'll pick it up in Luke 4, verse 16. Says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. So he found it on purpose. He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, what just got happened? What got happened? What just happened? He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. John baptized him in the River Jordan, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, and then he went and fought the enemy, and he met the enemy in the wilderness and overcame. And he's returned triumphant now and starting his ministry, and he's announcing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you could walk into the room and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do them also. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I like how it's worded. He didn't send me to pray for them. We got to get that pray for them out of our mind. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. What is that? If you're going to preach deliverance, what do you say to the captive? You are free. I always think about those soldiers right at the end of World War II when they came up onto those concentration camps. And many of them, there were still prisoners inside the gates. They came and they opened those gates and announced, you're free. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing with every captive of the devil. We're supposed to kick the gate down, preach deliverance to the captives and set them free. preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That acceptable year of the Lord is really important. We're not going to teach on that tonight, but it's really every Jew there knew what he meant. It's the year of Jubilee, meaning every person is restored back to his original inheritance. I don't care what mistakes you made. I don't care what mistakes your parents made. You may have lost your inheritance. You may have lost your land through bad dealings or debt or whatever. But on the day of Jubilee, all debts are canceled and all your original inheritance is restored. Glory to God. If the church ever understands that, including yours truly, it's going to be a different walk. Now, how I saw this today, go ahead and turn to Mark 4, but don't start reading Mark 4. Because we're never going to get there if I try and do it the traditional way. Sue says, well, most anyone that knows me knows I'm a big World War II. I like history. I have studied Hitler so much because it still astounds me how the devil could work through one man to the point. I mean, Germany was for centuries a Christian nation. My goodness, I don't have time to go through. So churches were everywhere. These were good people for the most part. Yet Satan was able to work through the mind of one man to the point. He could get people to do the most demonic things, and their conscience wouldn't even bother them. Sue and I have had it's an honor to walk through Auschwitz and Birkenau. It takes about 4 to 5 hours, and that's going fairly fast. I mean, you could spend days there and not see everything. Birkenau is huge. You have to be there to understand how big Birkenau is. Auschwitz is where they learned how to do it. Birkenau is where they did it. They had two little small crematoriums at Auschwitz where they practiced. One of them is still there. Birkenau, they had two giant crematoriums, and they were building two more. And it disappears. When you stand in Birkenau and look to the right and left, it disappears over the horizon. It's huge. And many of the barracks are still there. We were there in the combination maybe 6 hours altogether. And after about an hour, you'll catch yourself. You keep clearing. There's a heaviness still. There's a spirit. There's mourning, death there still. And you can feel it. He's reminding me. So, yes, sir. So, I've studied Hitler so much. Now, I've done it now. I'm kind of a little bit past it now. But for years, Sue said I needed an all Hitler, all the time channel. Because anything that come on about him, I wanted to see not only how the devil got him to like he was, but how in the world was he able to be the person that influenced so many people. Dear Lord, if we need some evangelists in the power of God. But anyway, that's another story. Well, how this happened, this message tonight, now see, we're going to really have to teach in macro mode. Mark 4, you guys have heard Mark 4 so many times, all of you could preach it to somebody. The sower sows the word. So a person, it's talking about people, is it not? Stony ground, thorny ground, that's all people. And he talks about, well, the sower sows the word. And he tells them plainly, the word is the word of God. But see, who is the word? Jesus is the word. So yes, the literal word is sown into you. But when you get born again, Christ gets sown into you. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live. It's Christ in me. Isn't that right? And it's not just him. To the Galatians, he talks about the mystery of this gospel, which is to the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? So, when you sow or sows the word, it is the literal word of God. You can sow the word for healing. You can sow the word for prosperity. You can sow the word for salvation. But what I want to focus on tonight is Christ in you, because he is the word. So let's just take this whole... So the sower sows the word. He talks about different things can cause that word in you. I'm going to say Christ in you. Things can cause how much fruit comes from Christ in you. Could I say it that way? Distractions, cares of this world, lusts of other things, the desire to be rich. There's all kinds of things that choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And few there are. Let's come down to the end of it in verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. What I really want to emphasize tonight is fruit from Christ in you. You've already got salvation fruit in the sense you're born again. But I'm talking about Luke 4 kind of fruit, where we go in beyond enemy lines. We find where the enemy has made somebody blind, for example. We've come. What does Jesus do? He restores their sight. Somebody's a cripple. Remember the woman that was bent over for all those years? Jesus knew it wasn't God. He said, whom Satan hath bound. Satan hath bound. See, from God's, from heaven's point of view, from Jesus' point of view, these are all prisoners of war. It's just like those people in the concentration camps. And they've been conquered. See, you can get conquered to the point. Yeah, I said, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I totally agree with Nathan's message about repentance. Boy, that is important. And that's applies to the vast majority of people, what he preached today. I also greatly appreciated Alan's message today. I thought it was awesome. But listen, where we're really going with revival, he's going to send us to people that are beyond repentance. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. As I was listening to both of them this morning, I'm sitting there listening, doing my best to listen. God's playing movies in my head. And what I saw was D-Day. Y'all remember D-Day? World War II, where all that preparation was made, and then finally here comes the Armada across the English Channel. And they're coming to land in France. France had been conquered. I mean, have you ever seen that picture? It just makes me angry every time I see it. Here's Hitler and some of his henchmen, and they're standing right there at the Eiffel Tower. And they've conquered. It makes me mad every time I see that thing, you know? It makes me angry. But at that moment, France is conquered. And there was resistance, and they fought, but they've been beaten. And at this point, and what I saw in my mind today was like a little 7-year-old boy. He's not really accountable. Alive at that time, through no fault of his own, he has been conquered by the Nazis. And there's nothing he can do on his own to get free, is there? He's hoping somebody comes. He's hoping somebody comes. Now, so I had that. Why? You know, at first I'm going, what are you doing? I'm trying to listen to Nathan. Then I saw, and he does this with me all the time, I have on my left side, I see the apostles struggling to keep a boat afloat in a storm trying to go across the river or the lake. And I know he's talking about Mark chapter 4. So you know how this starts. He's talking about the sower sows the word. Now for today's lesson, Christ in you. You got saved. The seed of Christ is in you. Many people, it'll never produce any fruit. I was going to finish that. But verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground. See, I believe if you're at Calling in the Lost on Sunday night, for sure you are good ground. Now, I don't mean the rest of you aren't, but I just mean this is dedicated people. Most of you have already been past these things listed up here. The enemy's done everything he can, thrown the kitchen sink at you, offered you money, offered you the easier way, tried to offended you, had somebody sit in your seat. I'm teasing, you know. Say bad things about you, call your mother ugly. I don't know what all they've done. And, you know, you're still here. See? And if you're listening, you're part of this army also. But these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. But now notice, that's not the end of it. And bringeth forth fruit. Bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. How many knows we're after the 100? As he is, say it with me, as he is, so am I in this world. Now see, he teaches that. Now come on down to verse 35. Man, I'm jumping over so much. We're teaching in major macro mode. Because it's the same day. You've got to understand. The same day that... And he went to great lengths. Remember, he taught the parable. They didn't understand it. So they asked him later, what does this mean? He explained the parable to them. Then if we had time, we'd go through... He gives them several illustrations, trying to get them to understand. But the lesson isn't over yet, people. I want you to notice it's the same day. Do you see that in verse 35? Christ looks at them and he sows the word. Now, this is the word to them. Let us pass over unto the other side. Now for today's lesson, I want you to think about the general just gave the command to the soldiers. Let's go to the other side. Does he tell them why? For benefit of the video, there are actually people here. Does he tell them why?
No,
he does not. Do they need more information to do what needs to be done? Let's go to the other side. Okay? Sound like a general giving a command. Well, why should I do this? And when are we going to get there? And is there going to be any snacks on the boat? And I like to have sparkling water when I go somewhere. No, we're talking an army. Let us go to the other side. And this is the same day. Now, he just got through teaching. When the sower sows the word, stuff happens to try and keep you, or to say it this way, keep that word from ever being accomplished in you. Well, what happens? The same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Let's see. He said over here now, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, stuff happens to keep the word from bearing fruit. So there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, we're having trouble getting to the other side. Is that what they're thinking? This storm has accomplished its purpose. They have abandoned the mission. We just want to live now. One of the reasons there are so few here. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Dave used to say all the time, if you're going to make it to revival, you're going to have to get past the beatings. Sometimes he's been talking about being a true disciple. That hateth not his mother and wife and brother and sister and father, yea, and his own life also. Who does not take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And he that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. Well, they're not there yet. They're not focused on the mission. They're focused on surviving. There's not a person here, I'm just looking around the room, that has not been through that war. And you're still here. You're still right now going to the other side. Even though everything has come to get you focused so much on survival, I got to get out of here. You don't really say it that way. Surely is an easier path down the road somewhere. Now, the reason we're talking about war, every general is also under authority. Isn't that right? And they know why they give the orders. There is a reason. So let's keep going. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. I can't get past it. Okay, let me finish that. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, look at me for a minute. For macro, he just got through saying, the sower soweth the word. You're the vessel. The word was not in you, then the word is in you. Isn't that right? Take this whole ship that they're in. They've got the word in the ship. Say it this way. Jesus is in my boat. Jesus is in my flesh. My flesh is the vessel. And the storm is trying to get me to focus on the vessel instead of Christ in me. Can you see it? Can you see it? See? And he says, how is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now see, now chapter 5, we find out what the purpose of the mission is. And they came over unto the other side. So now, finally, they have accomplished. The job is, he said, let us go to the other side. Can you see it? They came over to the other side. And they found a little French boy, about 9 years old, 7 to 9, who had been totally captured by the Nazis. Wasn't anything of his repentance won't do him any good. He's totally captured. There's not anything he can do to get free on his own at all. He's beyond that. Can you see? Do you know what's coming here? So when they came over to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, and when they came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Boy, how possessed is this guy? Chains. They couldn't bind the man with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, Lotus, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. This is a man beyond repentance. This is a man that's been totally conquered. Jesus has come to set the captive free. Now I want you to know I am totally in agreement with Nathan's message. And that's going to apply to the 90 some odd percent of the people that they need to repent. But God has an anointing for people that are beyond repentance. He has an anointing for drug addicts that have been so strung out for so long they hardly know their name. But God, how about people that their brains, they've just turned them to mush with drugs? Bipolar people? All kinds of mental disease. They're beyond repentance. But they're not beyond Jesus. And I want you to know the image. Their job was to keep the word in their vessel and get him to the other side, because the answer is Christ in them, not them. Their job was to get Christ there. And our job is to get Christ in us wherever He sends us. No matter what the devil sends to stop your vessel. Don't focus on the vessel. Focus on Christ in you. If He said get to the other side, bless God, we're getting to the other side. Amen. I want you to see this though. And Jesus does not tell this guy repent. He can't. He's beyond reasoning. Psychology is no good to this guy. Reasoning with this guy. Even preaching repentance. He doesn't even know his name anymore. This guy is gone, gone. Crying and moaning. I wonder what it was like. Scary guy. We're going to bring a bunch of men. We'll hog time with chains and rip. Yeah, let's go. Let's go counsel him. You go counsel him. We're talking about anointing beyond repentance. We're talking D-Day. See, what he showed me there, I saw the armada going. I've seen it so many times on those old movie clips or newsreel clips, the armada going across the English Channel. And then I saw that boat going across that lake. And it was the same thing. They had come to liberate France because France had been conquered. Jesus, he was coming in that boat to liberate a man who had been conquered. He's beyond repentance. He's beyond doing anything to save himself. But he's not beyond the arm of our Father. He's not beyond the anointing of Christ. Christ. And their job was to deliver Christ. And I'm seeing it clearer and clearer. So is ours. Christ is in you. Christ is not his last name. That word Christ means the anointed one is in you. You have been baptized with the same Holy Ghost he was baptized with. The enemy is going to do everything he can get you to focus on your life, your vessel, your problems, your this, your that. And if he can do that, he'll eventually destroy the fruit. You have got to focus. What did the Lord tell you? See, this comes down to your blueprint. It comes down to your part. You have a part to play. And the job of the enemy is to do anything and everything just to get you off of your blueprint. Didn't that make sense to you? So notice, verse 5 again, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the God, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Jesus does not talk to the man. Notice he says, "For he said unto him, come out of the man." Who's he talking? Is he talking to the man? Is he telling the man to repent? Is he telling the man anything? No. Now, again, 90 some odd percent of the Christians, that's the message. You need to repent and believe the gospel. You need to stop fornicating, stop drinking, stop. You need to get born again and believe what God says about you. You're a child of light. All of the message that we know here. But he's taken us even beyond there. Because there's a lot of people that are so gone. They're so gone. You can't even talk with them anymore. You got to talk to that spirit that's in them now. See? God the Holy Ghost will give us wisdom to know the difference. There's a time to talk to the man, and there's a time to talk to the devil in the man. He said, "Good, am I doing okay?"
Yeah.
"For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, and you don't have to do this every time. Jesus didn't do this every time. He did it this time. "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Well, he's not kidding. How many? We'll read it here in a little bit. How many pigs? I'm assuming one devil per pig, could be more. And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all of the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There it is. And they were about 2,000. You mean to tell me a person can have 2,000 devils on the inside of them? I think so. I would imagine that's fairly possessed. 2,000 devils? Say it with me. There is no person so broken that Jesus cannot fix them. Christ is in me. Christ is in my vessel. My job is to hear my marching orders to go to the other side on whatever he told me and deliver Christ there. And Christ in me, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, will set the captive free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But remember, that same day that he taught it, he told them all. He didn't use these words, but he said, when you receive your word, all hell will come against you. Everything's going to come against you, trying anything so that word never bears fruit. And that same day they get a word, they're going to cross over. And here comes a storm. It didn't take very long. They're not even thinking about the assignment anymore. Carest thou not that we perish? Now, the storm worked, didn't it? It does on most people. Thank God it doesn't work on you. Thank God it doesn't work on you. It doesn't work on me either. The closest we came, this is such a mild thing compared to where he's really sending us. But I only have my own testimonies to preach. I can't preach yours now, can I? Anyway. When the Lord gave us an assignment in the early part of this ministry, and this was back in the days when we had to produce physical cassettes. We didn't have the internet yet. We didn't have, we didn't have messages where they could just download them around the world. We literally had to produce cassette tapes. For you millennials, you'll have to ask somebody what that is. But they're little recording things like this big, and we had to literally produce them, and it was expensive to buy the cassettes and produce. We had to buy duplicating machines. They were like $5,000 a piece, those things, the high-speed duplicators. And then we had our own postage machine for quite a few several years. And man, we used to have employees. It took time and effort and work and money. And because he told us here, part of our assignment to get to the other side on us, send everything free. Don't even put in a return envelope. I'm not against any of those things. I'm just telling you what he told me. And you're not allowed to send out an appeal letter. I was all about sending out. I would have done it had he not told me not to. He's trying to teach me. Well, everything worked fine for a while, but then everything didn't work fine for a long time. And we got to where when it's your children, or most, all three of my daughters were working for me at the time. My son-in-law was working for me. And the money would not keep up with the demand. And so the reason I'm saying this, our boat started going under. We started going into debt. I didn't know what else to do because the Lord hadn't changed his instructions. We're doing exactly what he told me. I'd go back and read over the instructions that I'd don't send an appeal letter, send everything for free. And we're doing everything that he told us. But it looks like our boat is sinking. And we, every month, a little more in debt. I didn't know what else to do. We want that storm to blow over in 20 minutes. Well, this debt storm lasted, I need to go back and look at it again, but I'm thinking 2 years. It kept getting worse too. Not better, got worse. To the point, and you can just hear the devil, because I'm preaching how God's your provider. I'm preaching how God is your supplier, and how if you do what he tells you, he'll meet your needs. And you can just imagine what I'm hearing. You're a fraud. You're a fake. You never heard God in the first place. This does not work. You should shut up. If anybody knew what was going on, nobody would listen to you, and on and on and on. It's even hard to sleep sometimes when you're battling that. And if you've got to be careful, you don't start considering it yourself. But all I knew was that I had heard and done to the best of my ability what he told me to do. And I talked with Sue about it. And I'm married, I'd talk with her, and she was in agreement. Said, we're not going to fix it. Remember Alan's message? You don't know how many times I would catch myself writing appeal letters that did not sound like appeal letters. Now, you know what I mean by that? I wouldn't just come out and say, won't you help me? But you can word things in such a way where you're kind of like, won't you agree with me that, you can word things. And I would catch myself composing in my mind these letters. I go, no, no. This either works or I'm done anyway. It either works or God's a liar. And I talked with Sue about it. She said, let's sink or swim, wind up in debtor's prison, if there's such a thing, bankruptcy, whatever. Let's believe God. So we just kept on. And y'all have heard the story now. Say out loud, 2 years. it was at least that long and maybe longer before it started to turn. And it's, boy, when he turned, and we were roughly $46,000, if I remember, a little over $46,000 in debt. That's not pocket change. And without ever writing an appeal letter, without us doing anything different than what he told us, God started speaking to the hearts of people around the world. The first one was from Australia, a person I had never met. I've never been to Australia, never met this guy. And he sends us, and I've got to shorten this, he sends us a $5,000 gift to the ministry. I looked up on his records, and I think the most he'd ever given was $500. I thought, oh, man, I bet he hit an extra zero by accident. His electronic donation, you know. I said, oh, man, I bet he. So I stayed up till like 2 in the morning where I can talk to him Australian time, you know. And I'm him-hawing all around. How's your wife? Oh, it's good, you know. How's your cat? Cat's good. Your grass doing okay? Well, it's Australia, not so good. You know? Finally, I said, Peter, I said, I'm a little bit worried. We received your gift, man. Did you really intend to send $5,000? Hear that silence? He went, oh, you scared me half to death. I thought maybe I sent $50,000. Oh, yeah, I intended to send $5,000. I said, well, why such a big gift? He said, oh, I've been saving up. That's all he said. I told the staff, put that right on the debt. Anything extra that comes in like that, right on the debt, right on the debt. Well, that started a barrage without us telling anybody else. A $7,000 one come in, a $10,000 one come in. In less than a year, God wiped out that whole $46,000 debt. And we went to the other side. We don't even do it that way now. Now everything's, you know, Angie by herself now is the amplifier. Because God has so streamlined how we do it now. There's no physical cassettes. There's no physical mailing. It's all done by internet. It's much more efficient. Yet we're reaching more people than we ever have. See? But we had to get to the other side. And I look back at it now. That storm of debt was designed for the same purpose as the storm that hit those disciples. It was getting on me to focus on me. Lord, don't you care that we perish? And I got to remember, I got to tell you something. There was times, how did Dave say that? My lower lip was interfering with the gas pedal. I was, you know, yeah. What's discouraged? What's the word Alan's been using? Not really discouraged. Depressed? Depression. Is that it? Discouragement? Okay. I thought it was something else anyway. Yeah, I got discouraged. I remember having this conversation with God. God, I wasn't raised like this. I was raised to pay my bills. And I always had a good credit rating, and now I've been following you. Lower lip, gas pedal. I've been following you. My credit rating's I couldn't buy a hubcap on time. There's nothing, you know. And nobody. He got quiet after a while. I heard him say, "You follow me, and I'll take care of your credit rating." You know what a perfect credit rating is? 850. Mine's 823. Pretty good. And the only reason I don't have more, I don't have enough credit. I don't have enough credit card, you know. Or it'd be higher than it is. He did exactly what he said. See, I think about the people that got those cassettes on the other side. You say, well, they're just cassettes. No, they're life. I wonder how many lives were saved. I wonder how many people, I wonder how many kept him out of radical grace. I just wonder what he did with all of that. See? I may not find that out till heaven. Now the point of this God at war, listen, you are a soldier. If you're here at Calling in the Lost on a Sunday night, you're the tip of the spear. You are going to the other side. And it's Christ in you that you're delivering. And it doesn't matter if you're called to be an evangelist, a five-fold minister. If you're working full-time at a job, you're still the light. You may be the only light on the job where you work. God may have you there specifically to rescue somebody. There may be a mad... You said, I knew my boss was the madman of Gadara. But there may be somebody there that Christ in you is going to rescue. But before that happens, there's probably going to be a storm. And the whole purpose is to get you focusing on you and your boat and your survival. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? See, that doesn't sound like people that have given up their own life also, does it? I'm not going to get into it tonight because we're really out of time. But this would be a perfect place to go into those verses where Paul says we've been delivered all the way to death. What's the next part? We've been delivered all the way to death. You remember? That the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal bodies. But for that to happen, you've got to be delivered all the way to death. Philippians, somewhere. I know roughly where it is. Philippians. So I was teaching on this just recently. And so was Nathan. And we didn't know he was going to be teaching on that passage. But it's Philippians chapter 3. See, Nathan was teaching this morning what John taught. If you know him, you're going to keep his commandments. Isn't that right? If you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. Well, Paul talks about knowing him here. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But notice, in the same breath, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's not talking about a future resurrection of the dead. He's talking about walking in newness of life, but walking in the fullness of it like Jesus did. Well, Jesus also walked in the fullness of mortification of the flesh because he never sinned, not one time. Yes, sir. Say it with me. Christ is in my boat. Christ is in me. The Anointed One lives in me. My job is to hear instruction and get him to the other side. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm to get him there. There will be a reason. And he'll set the captives free. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God at war. I think we'll probably call this one D-Day. D-Day. See, D-Day would never happen. I'll tell you one other thing. I liked it when the History Channel was the History Channel. Now it's more of the Fix-It-Yourself Channel or something. But they showed this thing here recently where there's, on the bottom of the ocean of the channel, there's all these American tanks sitting there on the bottom. And they're not capsized. They're sitting just on the bottom. Did y'all see that? And you think, what in the world? And there's not one. There's dozens of them. And what you find out, they had equipped these things with kind of a skirt and a little propeller. Literally, they were trying to drive them, float them across the channel. But the channel waters were rough that day. It was not exactly a huge storm, but there was too high a sea that kept splashing over inside that apron thing that they had on that tank, and it sank them. What if they seen all those tanks sink, and they go, that's it, we're turning back. Well, France would still be occupied by the Nazis. We can't allow storms, circumstances. We We can never start focusing on, Lord, carest thou not that I perish? No, no. You need to get rid of that before you start crossing over. We are going to the other side. Reading verse 13 again. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000. And, you know, I said before, 2,000 devils could be in one man? My goodness. And they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus. Now get this. And to see him that was possessed with the devil. And had the legion. And he's sitting. And clothed. Notice. And in his right mind. There is no such thing as too broken. Now, I understand broken people. I understand broken people. And the vast majority, again, the message, the vast majority, they need to repent, believe the gospel. But I'm telling you, you don't get much more broken than a guy that's got 2,000 devils. He's like the little French boy held captive by the Nazis in Germany. He can't deliver himself. We're supposed to have Jesus in our boat. If we listen to him, we'll find out our part to play in this war. We'll get him to the other side. And Jesus will set the captives free. This guy was in his right mind. And you don't get much worse than this guy. Read it again. What all? That relative of yours that the whole family's given up on? Jesus hasn't given up on him. They can be set in their right mind. I don't care what's wrong with them. I don't care how broken they are. They can be set in their right mind. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now we're called to deliver that Christ to this world. He's in our boat. Let's get him there. Amen.